The summer I turned 17 years old, I went on a 10-week trip with Teen Missions International to Tasmania, Australia. And yes, I saw and actually got to pet a Tasmanian devil. I didn't get to hold one, though, because this particular one didn't like men and would extra growl. So anyway, for whatever reason. But we were a team of about 30-some-odd teenagers, and we had a lot of luggage, and we had to travel from Florida to L.A. to Fiji to Hawaii to Fiji and then to Australia. There were a lot of people, a lot of things to keep track of. Well, one way that the teen mission system was, everyone was given a count-off number. And so whenever the leader began with a one, they'd say their number one, and then on down the line it would go. And I remember mine 37 years later, I was number 19. And that was a great way to make sure everyone was where they needed to be. And while we were at our training in Florida for a couple of weeks, we did it constantly. Then when we would get on the bus, we would count off. And then when we got off the bus and we're waiting to go to the next place, we'd count off. And, you know, it worked really well. For instance, you know, we were standing in we were in LAX. It was kind of a funny thing because we had everyone wore construction boots. We had our jeans on. We're getting ready to get on the plane. Okay, count off. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, all the way up to 35. But, you know, it worked out really well. We never left anyone behind. And that's a big deal. You know, in Scripture, there's a number of places where people are listed off. They are counted. Their names are there, even if they're difficult to pronounce for us. Some of these are genealogies. Some are censuses. Some are lists of families or descendants. You've also got the Lamb's Book of Life, and you definitely want to be on that list. Well, Paul has some roll calls as well throughout his book, his books. He lists his friends and those who have helped him and been a huge blessing in his ministry. In fact, I think if you count all the people up Paul lists, there's about 100 of them, named and unnamed, associated with him in the book Acts and the epistles. At the end of Romans 16, he rattles off 26 friends. And each of these was alive and well and a follower of Jesus and someone Paul appreciated greatly. Well, that's what we find in the last chapter of Colossians. And here he gives us greetings to a couple churches, one of their pastors, several Jews, several Gentiles. Now, we are going to get back to Colossians 2 in a couple weeks. But this week, as we're celebrating Mothers, we're also going to recognize our volunteers who work so very hard to make our basement a beautiful place to be. Without this roll call of people, the project wouldn't have been started and it wouldn't have been completed. And without the rest of you who have given generously to the project, we couldn't have done it. Some of these folks work many hours, some work just a few minutes, but I did my best to write you all down. If I miss some of you, just be glad the Lord Jesus doesn't forget. Some folks swung hammers, some shopped. That's in ministry too. Some cleaned, some contributed to ideas. Hey, can you run to Lowe's? And people did. And all of them made the dream a reality. So I'd like to thank Barbara and Brett and Callie and Chuck and Gail and Jeff and Ken and Kenny and Kim and Kyle, Logan and Lila, Lorraine, Marty, Mel, Mike, Monty, Peyton, Rubbly, Rob, and Sue. But those aren't all. There are several others who put literally hundreds of hours into the project. And that was Jeremy, Elaine, and Roger. And so in addition to this being Mom's Day, I'd like to unofficially pronounce it as Jer Day. Jeremy, Elaine, and Roger. And in appreciation of their hard work, I'd like these three to come forward. We have a little token of appreciation for them. So. Well, we're going to go with ladies first. I think Elaine probably put in 30 plus hours a week over the many, many months, and she checked in constantly, and she was a huge, huge blessing. So we have a gift certificate and a certificate. Thank you very much, Elaine.
Okay.
Roger came to our rescue with electrical, and then he kept sticking around and doing countless other many, 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 many hours of tasks. And so, Roger, we thank you. And
thank you, sir.
And then we've got Jeremy, and he does good work.
Yes.
And just kept on the Energizer Bunny trucking along, kept on going, and it's made a huge difference. And the good thing is we're not quite done. Hopefully the lumber that's out on the porch is going to be expanding the stage in the next couple of weeks. And we'll have new carpet in here as well. So good things are happening. And if you would like an opportunity to serve the Lord next Saturday, you can help load Rob's trailer with all the junk that needs to go to the dump. So there you go, 9:45. So thank you very much. And like I said, Paul recognized a lot of people, but he didn't catch everyone. So if I missed you, I'm sorry. It wasn't intentional, just human. Well, let's dive into Colossians 4, our passage for today. And this is a list of special people in Paul's life that he wants to give a shout out to. And so it begins with Tychicus, the faithful man, in Colossians 4, 7-8. And I adapted this outline from John Phillips and tweaked it around a lot. But it begins and says, Tychicus will tell you all the news about me. He is a dear brother, a faithful minister and fellow servant in the Lord. I am sending him to you for the express purpose that you may know about our circumstances and that he may encourage your hearts. Tychicus was a faithful man. He was a leader in the church, and he was a bearer of this letter. I think Paul gave it to him, and he faithfully brought it so the Colossians could read about it. He's mentioned five times in the New Testament, in Acts and four of Paul's letters. He seems to have popped up out of Paul's ministry there in Ephesus, and he was a native of the province of Asia. It's very likely he came from Ephesus and that Paul led him to faith in Christ. There's a very good chance that he was there and aware of when the silversmiths rioted, and which prompted Paul to leave for Macedonia. Even if he was only a bystander to the riot and not quite tied in with Paul, he still was exposed to danger and saw Paul's courage on display. And eventually, when Paul decided to return to Jerusalem, he was one of the seven who traveled with him as a traveling companion. It would take a lot of gumption to go around with Paul. I mean, yes, it would be exciting, but it also could hurt a lot, depending on what the reaction was. But Tychicus was a faithful man. And when Paul was arrested, he, with Dr. Luke and some others, would have stayed with Paul through thick and thin. It's thought that he went through the arrest, the imprisonment in Caesarea. He appeared before kings and officials, was there on the voyage, and then ended up on the shipwreck on the way to Rome. And at one point, Paul told the Corinthians, I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and a day in the open seas. I have constantly been on the move. Excuse me. Can I get a glass of water, please? I've been in danger from bandits, in danger from my own countrymen, in danger from Gentiles, in danger from in the city, in danger in the country, in danger at sea, and in danger from false brothers. I've labored and toiled and often gone without sleep. I have known hunger and thirst and often gone without food. I have been cold and naked. Paul said that about himself, and that did happen to Paul. But it is very likely that Tychicus went through a lot of those things. I deserve to get splashed with that, but that's thankfully I didn't. But anyway, but Tychicus probably went through a lot of those same things as Paul. He was loyal and faithful, and therefore Paul sent him as a messenger to the churches in Asia Minor. And he took the letter to the Colossians, likely to Philemon, and then to the Ephesian church. He was one that Paul trusted. When he was given a task, he carried it out. And Paul calls him a dear brother, a faithful servant, and a fellow servant in the Lord. Paul may have written the letter, but Tychicus made sure it got where it needed to go. You know, what if he'd lost the letter? Would that have been a bummer to have missed out on the book of Colossians and all it says about the supremacy and the glory of Jesus? What if Tychicus would have gotten sidetracked and left it at an inn or dropped it in the river or decided to go somewhere else instead? No, but he didn't. He made sure it got where it needed to go, and we were blessed. You know, Paul and Tychicus made a good team. They were both servants of God, even though they had different tasks. And his so-called small service, he was just the messenger, actually made a huge difference. You know, you can make a big difference for Jesus, even in small things. Whether it be you make a meal for someone, speak a kind word, or sweep the floor after coffee talk, little things can make a big difference. So I want to ask you, in what ways are you faithful in serving God? God's given each of us a task, because if we're his children, we have spiritual gifts. Are you carrying it out on his behalf? Tychicus was committed to doing that. Well, then we have another interesting guy who didn't start out real squared away. In fact, his name was Onesimus. He was the found man. We read in verse 9, "He is coming with Onesimus, our faithful and dear brother, who is one of you. They will tell you everything that is happening here." Well, Onesimus means useful, but the problem was he was the runaway slave of Philemon. He'd run away, he'd taken some money, and then somehow he ended up in the presence of the Apostle Paul, and Paul shared Jesus with him, and this guy's life was changed. And eventually he was going to return with a letter from Paul called Philemon. He was found by God. It's interesting that he was a Colossian. He was one of you, and he was going to go with Tychicus and report and let the people know what was going on with Paul. He'd been a believer for not very long, but he'd proved himself. He was a sincere follower of Jesus. The gospel had gotten a hold of him. I love the fact that no matter your background, no matter how you've messed up in the past, God can still use you. It doesn't have to be over. Well, I did this, and I was this and this. Well, guess what? This guy was a robber. He was a fugitive. And yet, he'd met Jesus and been changed. God doesn't waste where you come from or how you've messed up. In fact, he can use your mess up for his glory and great encouragement for others as well. I want to encourage you. Allow God to transform your past. It made a difference in Onesimus. God can use you too. Well, then we have a fella who's willing to suffer much for Jesus. We have Aristarchus, the fearless man. We read in verse 10, "My fellow prisoner Aristarchus sends you his greetings." He was a Thessalonian who had accompanied Paul on his third missionary journey. And the fact is that he's his fellow prisoner could mean one of two things. He's there helping Paul, or he's actually in the slammer as well. We're not 100% sure, but he had to have been a brave man. Just to hang out with a prisoner of Rome is to put yourself in a vulnerable position. You know, think about it. If you're hanging out with this radical, an enemy of the state, well, why are you hanging out with him? Do you believe the same thing? Do you support him? Are you in league with what he's up to? This guy very likely was in jail. But I love the fact he's called a fellow worker, even in Philemon. He'd risked his life in the Ephesian riot. He'd sailed with Paul to Rome. He'd gone through the storm and the shipwreck. He stayed with Paul no matter what. Now, he may not have had a whole lot of choice, perhaps, but nevertheless, he seemed like he was fearless. He didn't take the easy way out. He didn't say, "Oh, suffering for Jesus and for hanging out with Paul? I don't think so. See you later, alligator." No, that's not what he did. Even if he was going to be put at physical risk himself, he stuck with Paul. He didn't take off running naked like the guy who wrote the book of Mark did, or probably did. He stood his ground. And let me ask you, will you be like Aristarchus? Will you stand up for the cause of Christ? Will you associate with your fellow believers? Maybe you haven't always been courageous, but God can change that too. Next, we have someone who wasn't all the time doing so well. We have Mark, the forgiven man. And then he goes on, he says, as does Mark, the cousin of Barnabas. You've received instructions about him. If he comes to you, welcome him. Mark was a Jew, a native of Jerusalem, where his mother Mary kept an open house for the believers. She basically welcomed the believers. He was Barnabas' cousin, and he was a companion of Paul's on his first missionary journey. Unfortunately, he got sidetracked. He got discouraged. John Mark bailed out on Paul, and Paul was not happy about it. So on the second journey, when it was time to go, Paul said, take John Mark? I don't think so. And Barnabas said, oh, yes, we must. And they ended up disagreeing so much, they went different ways. But the great thing was, later on, Mark was forgiven by Paul, and he was recognized for being a great fellow servant. He became very dear to Paul. Later, Paul commended him in Philemon and 2 Timothy. He was Peter's associate, my son, as Peter called him. This is a big deal. And then this same Mark wrote the Gospel of Mark. Isn't that amazing? God took a guy who blew it. He's probably the same guy who doesn't identify himself as the one they grabbed his clothes and he took off running when Jesus was in the garden. This same guy was forgiven by God and by others, and recognized as being faithful. I hope that we will be forgiven. I hope that if you've blown it in the past, you won't quit. Okay, I did this, yes, but it's a new day, and I'm gonna walk forward with God. The great thing is God didn't give up on Mark, and he won't give up on you either. Because remember, it's about his grace. It's about the work of Jesus. It's not you. So let me encourage you, like Mark, get up and keep on going with God's help. And then we have Jesus Justice, the friendly man. Jesus, who is called Justice, also sends greetings in verse 11. They are the only Jews among my fellow workers for the kingdom of God, and they have proved a comfort for me. Justice means righteous, and it was a very common name. Jesus was a common name as well, but it was a good one. You know, having a name like righteousness is good. I mean, it beats knucklehead or no good or a whole lot of other names that are out there. But you've got Aristarchus and Mark and Justice. They were Jews. They were of the circumcision, whether they were born Jews or they converted. But nevertheless, I love the fact it says they comforted Paul by their loyalty to him. They have proved a comfort to me. I hope that you'll prove a comfort to others as well. You know, it may be an encouraging word. It may be it's just simply sticking around. Sometimes you don't have to even say anything. You just need to be there. But never underestimate the power of a kind word and a smile. The next person impacted others through their prayer. We have Epaphras, the fervent man, and he encouraged others. We read, Epaphras, who is one of you and a servant of Christ Jesus, sends greetings. He is always wrestling in prayer for you, that you may stand firm in the will of God, mature and fully assured. I vouch for him. He's working hard for you and for those at Laodicea and Hierapolis. We met him at the beginning of Colossians. Probably Paul had led him to Christ and then sent him home to tell the people about Jesus. It's very likely he started the churches in Laodicea and Hierapolis. At the beginning of chapter 1 of Colossians, Paul said, our dear fellow servant, a faithful minister of Christ, who's told us what you've been up to. Later on, we'll find at the end of Colossians in chapter 4, he was also called a servant of Christ. This is great. And one of the things we notice about him is he's fervent, and he's fervent in prayer. Notice it says he's always wrestling in prayer for you. Now, I used to wrestle a lot. I used to lay on my floor, and my 2- and 4-year-old would jump off the couch and land on me. And then I'd go, bleh. And that would be about the extent of it. That's about as much wrestling I had to do. Now, later when they became teenagers and took Brazilian jiu-jitsu, it wasn't as much fun anymore. I had to give up, and I had to retire from that after my shoulder about went out and about got choked out by a 12-year-old girl. I was like, enough of this. But I also wrestled in junior high. And let me tell you, when I wrestled, I gave it everything I had. There was no more energy left in that 104-pound skinny little body. Well, this guy is not just doing a 2-year-old wrestle, lay there and flop. No, he has given it everything. He is wrestling hard on their behalf. And He probably was wrestling as hard as Jacob did when Jacob was wrestling the angel. You know, he also had practical fervor. He was working hard on behalf of the people. That's a great thing to have said about you. So-and-so works hard on behalf of God's people. That's a great thing. You know, he wanted those in the Lycus Valley, which included Colossae, Laodicea, and Hierapolis, he wanted them to mature and grow in their faith in Christ. And he wanted them to be mature and full and perfect in Christ, just like Paul had been emphasizing. And it also says he's working on behalf of the people, so he's got personal fervor too. What kind of fervor do you have? What are you known for being really fired up about and working really hard at? Hopefully, it revolves around Jesus to some degree. Not that you can't be involved and fervent about lots of things, but I hope that like him, you also be fervent about Christ. And then the man you've heard the most about, Luke, the famous man, our dear friend Luke, the doctor. He's likely a Gentile. It's possibly he was one of the 72 that followed Jesus. But he stood firm in Paul's probably first imprisonment, and it's likely Paul was imprisoned a second time, and Luke was also there. And Luke had joined Paul and his party at Troas, and they journeyed to Jerusalem. He was with Paul on the journey to Rome, which, of course, was rough. And it had to have been an encouragement. Luke was a doctor. He was a detailed man. He took good notes. He's the kind of doctor you'd want to have. If you read the book of Luke, he's got a lot of detail. And of course, Luke paid very much attention to how Jesus cared for women and children. Jesus did well, and Luke noted that. You could say that he was a healer, he was a helper, and we've come to appreciate he's a historian as well. Luke wasn't famous for being famous, but he just for doing his job. And then eventually the Lord used him to write the book of Luke as well as Acts. We can learn from Luke that seek first God's kingdom and everything will be added to you. Luke stayed with Paul until the end. Unfortunately, the next guy we see didn't. His name was Demas, and we could call him the floundering man. Demas sends greetings. He's mentioned three times in the New Testament. First, in Philemon, he's called Demas, my fellow laborer, and he's linked with Mark and Aristarchus and Luke. And then he's called Demas and here, and there's no real word of commendation. Unfortunately, in 2 Timothy 4, we say, for Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world. Bummer. He didn't end well. At one point, John Mark floundered and failed and went off, but Mark came back. Demas didn't end well with Paul. He loved this present world, and the world refers to the things that we see around us in the present world system. And 1 John, John pointed out, the believer is enticed with the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Let me encourage you, don't be like this guy. Don't love the world more than you love God. Don't seek the approval of others more than Jesus. Don't wander off the path of life. It won't be worth it. I'm hoping someday Demas went, oh, what have I done, and returned. But we don't have record of that. But know that if you're floundering or falling, it's never too late to come running back to Jesus, because he will welcome you back. And then next up, we have Nympha or Nymphas, depending on your translation, the fruitful one. In verse 15, give my greetings to the brothers at Laodicea and to Nympha and the church in her house. After this letter's been read to you, see that it's also read in the church of the Laodiceans and that you in turn read the letter from Laodicea. The Greek is really unclear whether it's a man or a woman. If it's Nymphas, it means bridegroom. If it's Nympha, it means bride or nymph-like. And the NIV adds a her house. We don't know exactly, but we do know for sure this individual is wealthy and owned a big enough house that could welcome people into it. If you lived in a 2x2 little place, it's going to hard to have a church gathering. But Nympha, was wealthy and said, here, you can come enjoy what I have. And that's how they did things in the old, back then before they had church buildings. If you had a larger house, that's where the believers would gather. And it's talked about, that kind of a thing is talked about quite a bit in the scripture. Well, these days we're blessed to meet in the building on Sundays, but also in the homes of many folks throughout the week. We have people gather at the Wades, or the Evensons, the Mortimers, Paytons on a regular basis for Bible studies. And then many of you have people over in and out all the time. That's a blessing. That's being fruitful. We may not know about this individual, but we know that they were prosperous, they were generous, and they love God. I hope that you will learn from them, and whatever you have, you will share it and give it to the glory of God. And then we have Archippus, the fellow soldier man. Tell Archippus, see to it you complete the work that you have received in the Lord. Likely he was the son of Philemon, and he was there in Colossae. And he was told, complete the work you've been given. We don't know what he had done. I'm hoping this was an encouragement. Keep at it. Don't give up. But perhaps he'd been discouraged and he stopped. Maybe he was teaching a study. Maybe he was going out and visiting people and then he got discouraged. I don't know. But Paul says, keep at it. Don't quit. I've got to ask you, is there anything God has made clear that you should be up to? A certain ministry or thing you should be serving in? Well, if he's made it clear, don't give up. Complete the work that God has given to you. And I have to ask myself the same thing. And last week, we come to the author of the book, the one and only Apostle Paul, the fettered man. The fettered man. He says, I, Paul, write this greeting in my own hand. Many times, Paul had a scribe. Some people think all of his books were written by scribes. It could have been because maybe he was so beat up, his hands didn't work with arthritis and broken bones. There's a thought that maybe his eyesight wasn't good. But a few times it does say, I write this greeting. So whether Paul wrote the whole book or just signed his name at the end, we don't know. And some of the other books in the New Testament seem to indicate that he may have only written a little bit of them. But we all know this; it was from him. But, you know, that's not as important as how he ends things. He says, remember my chains, grace be with you. Why did Paul want them to remember his chains? Not so they feel sorry for him, but they'd remember, I'm here for the sake of the good news of Jesus. I shared with the folks in Ephesus, and then they came and they shared with you. Let's keep this ball rolling. You know, I'm grateful for many of you who spent a lot of time downstairs working. I'm also really grateful for those of you who encouraged and for those of you who gave. You know, we had money to do projects downstairs because some of you gave and paid the garbage bill. That, it all works together well, and that's a huge blessing. All hands on deck in Paul's day made a difference, and it makes a difference in our day as well. You know, I look back in the summer of 1987, and had I missed roll call, had I not been there, who knows, had I wandered off to the snack bar or to the bathroom or just gotten left behind, it was very encouraging to know that when they got to 18 and they waited and there was no 19, they would have said, somebody would have said, hey, is 19 there? And they would have known it was me because we had to learn who was before us and after us. They wouldn't have gotten on that bus or that plane or that train. They would have stopped and they would have gone looking for me. I wouldn't have been left behind. I wouldn't have been forgotten. Paul had a good memory, and he remembered a lot of folks. But the number one thing I want to leave you with is make sure that you're not forgotten by the Lord Jesus, that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, that you have turned from your sin, acknowledge you need a Savior, and said, Jesus, I know you're the only way to God. If you've done that, you will not be left off the rolls. You will not be forgotten. He is there. And guess what? His grace will be with you. Lord Jesus, we thank you for this day. We thank you for all you've done. We thank you for the ladies we've been able to celebrate today. We thank you for the beautiful building that you've given us. We thank you for all the hard workers, both in Paul's day and now as well. We give you thanks. You are wonderful, and we want to clearly state it. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.